As I was considering this lesson, Zacchaeus was kind of jumping up in my mind and in my spirit. I was like, what in the world has Zacchaeus got to do with resolutions and crossroads? In chapter 19 of Luke, verse 1, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." See, Zacchaeus had gained great wealth. And it turns out that he didn't get all his wealth in the right means. In other words, he might have cheated a little bit along the way. He might have cheated a few people to get his wealth. He was not on the right road. Zacchaeus was not on the right road until he got on this road that Jesus was on. In verse 3 it says, "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature." Turns out Zacchaeus was a small man. Small in stature. But he had great riches and power. And no doubt he used that power to feel large amongst his peers. But with that power of richness, he could wield power over those around him, but he couldn't press through the crowd to get to where he wanted to be in a parade. You know, being small of stature oftentimes can have us feel inadequate. Anybody in here ever feel inadequate? Don't raise your hand. I'll raise mine. Sometimes I feel inadequate. Sometimes I look at the things in front of me and I look at the responsibilities and I go, this is too big. This is too much. I can't navigate it. I can't do it. And the truth is, we can't do it. The truth is, we need a strength to help us navigate our situations. We need God to be our strength to help us through our situations. I don't feel smart enough. I don't feel good enough. I don't feel strong enough. I don't have it. Quite frankly, my stature is too small to do what God has in front of me. But with God, all things are possible. And Zacchaeus found help the same way that you will find your help. And you have and the same help that you have access to when you feel inadequate. In verse 4, it says, "And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house." So I would ask you, why did Jesus choose Zacchaeus to abide with rather than someone else from that entire crowd? The parade was so thick, the throng was so thick that Zacchaeus couldn't even push through. There were people everywhere. There were people Jesus had a choice of to go abide with. And I would say that it's possible Jesus looked at Zacchaeus because Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus. Jesus noticed Zacchaeus because Zacchaeus was making effort to get to where Jesus was. Jesus had a plan for Zacchaeus. It was preordained that that meeting would happen. Jesus has a plan for us. It's preordained that we're in this room tonight. It was preordained that you would be saved. He died on the cross for all. He made it possible for all. It is His will that all be saved. It's available. He came to seek and to save those that were lost. It is His will. It is His plan. In verse 6 it says, "And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he has gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner." People are always going to talk. But Jesus didn't come to this earth to build a reputation that would please men. He didn't come here for a popularity contest. He came here to make men, women, boys and girls His children. He came here to build a church. He came here to build a ministry. He came here to save those that were lost. In verse 8, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from a man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Now, Zacchaeus wouldn't have said that if he didn't know he was guilty of that. He knew good and well he had taken some things by false accusation. He said he's going to restore it fourfold. "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham." So Zacchaeus got saved that day. And the way he received God's Spirit is he said, "I'm going to go give to the poor, and I'm going to go restore the things that I've taken fourfold." But it wasn't the generosity of Zacchaeus or the change in giving of Zacchaeus that caused him to be saved and his house to be saved. That giving was an indication of a change in spirit of Zacchaeus. That giving was an indication that Christ was living within Zacchaeus at that point. So, it took the Spirit of Christ to have Zacchaeus make that change. So if we want change, if we want better, if we want a resolution, I'd say that Jesus is an obvious place to start. If you don't already have Jesus in your home, in your life, have that Spirit guiding you, that's a great place to start for a brand new life. You can't do better without that Spirit living in you. You can dig as deep as you want. You can try as hard as you can. You will come up short without the Spirit of Christ. Guaranteed. But I tell you, the world will be happy to guide you with advice if you need advice out there. Just ask anyone, you know, what you should do in a situation. And Brother Adam, you'll never hear someone out there say, well, Brother Adam, my life's kind of a mess, so I really don't think I should be giving you advice. You'll never hear anybody say that back to you. What they'll say is, oh, it's more money? Yeah, you should take that. You should take that promotion. Why wouldn't you? Oh, why would you help that person? They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it for you. Why don't you just go ahead and get what's yours? Oh, you should just leave. You should just go ahead and leave him. He's not worth it. Yeah. That's what the world will tell you. No one says, let the Holy Ghost guide us in our decisions. So what often seems like the obvious choice in this world is not always God's way. And we need God's Word and God's Spirit to guide us in the direction we should go. Because everybody you run into out there that thinks they know what's best for your life is not going to have the answer for your life. As a matter of fact, there's enough jealousy and backbiting out there that you may think it's your best friend, and you may think they're helping you, but they may be trying to steer you away from a blessing. Because if you got that blessing, that'd mean you were in a better place than they were. I'm just saying, it's not like it's ever happened to me or anything. But I'm just saying, we got a friend in Jesus, and we can count on His Word and His guidance, His Spirit, to get us where we need to be. And I say we ought to have friends. But your friends are no better than you are. And you're no better to be jealous than somebody else. So, when you're at a crossroad, you kind of need a North Star to guide you, don't you? You kind of need something overarching that tells you where you want to go. You guys ever heard of Alice in Wonderland? It's a kind of a common story out there, right? So Alice came to a fork in the road and asked the Cheshire Cat, "Which road should I take?" "Well," asked the cat, "where are you going?" "I don't know," said Alice. then it doesn't much matter, the cat was quick to reply. If you don't know where you're going, if you don't have a destination in mind, what does it matter which road you take? You're going to end up somewhere. God would have us set our sights on His will and on His path. And we've got that overarching in our life, then we can make the better decisions when we get to those crossroads. So we could get the, you know, we could get some folks out here that haven't decided what they want to be. Maybe the youth group, and we could say, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? And if one of them says, well, I want to be a doctor, it wouldn't make much sense for them to go train as a fireman or a firewoman, would it? Well, if they want to be a doctor, then they need to go train as a doctor. If one of them wants to be a nurse, it doesn't do any good for them to go train as a police officer. Well, no, you go train as a nurse if that's what you want to be. If you want to be somewhere in your life, then do things along that path. If we want a happy home and a peaceful home, then we've got to bring our family to church. If we want to know God's will, then we've got to open the Bible. If we want to get direction, then we've got to pray. If we want God to know our heart and we want to be close to God, we've got to tell God what's on our heart. We've got to create that fellowship with Him. So, you know, kind of back to the New Year's resolutions. Let's go back to the most popular one of losing weight. And, you know, if you resolve to be slimmer, some will say, I want to be slimmer, but I'll never be as slim as she is, so I'm not even going to try. Sometimes we lose our blessing because we start comparing what's happening for us to what's happening for other people. But I guarantee you, if you want to be slimmer, there's an equation out there, and it's pretty simple to say. It's a lot harder to do, but you just create activity that uses up more energy than you consume. That's kind of it, right? You burn more calories than you take in, and over some amount of time, some amount of weight will go away. So if I want to be slimmer, there are things I can do to be slimmer tomorrow. Not tomorrow, next month. But I may never get as slim as he is or as slim as she is. But I can improve. I can get down a path. I can start a destination. If I wanted to be a weightlifter and if I wanted to bench press 300 pounds, who knows what bench press is? It's when you do the bar and you're laying down on the thing. If I want to bench press 300 pounds, I'd say most people can't just go do that tomorrow. And you know what? Some of us have a little age on us. Some of us have some genetic stuff going on to where we're just not going to get that strong. Some of us have different situations. And as a matter of fact, 300 pounds is a lot. And not many people in their lives ever bench press 300 pounds. Some people in here probably have at one point in your life or may be able to do it today. But I'll say if you just want to start out and go do that, you may never make it. But I guarantee you, based on the physics that God has put in our bodies, if you don't get an injury and if you start tomorrow moving some weight around and you do a little more a few times a week over several months, you will definitely be able to bench press more 6 months from now than you are today. But if you don't do anything, you never get to a place that's better than where you are today. That's true in every aspect of our life, including the spiritual side of our life. We do nothing, we get nothing. Well, I'm just going to wait on things to come. Okay. Then don't be resentful when the person who's out there working and doing things to make things happen receive things. Because you can't just, it just doesn't come. It just doesn't happen that way. You're very fortunate if it does. And oh, by the way, just like some people genetically are going to be able to eventually bench press 300 pounds, God gives favor, God takes favor away. Some people are going to get truckloads, some people are going to get carloads, some people are going to get wheelbarrow loads. But you don't get anything if you don't go in that direction. God said that He would open up the windows of heaven and pour out the blessing. He's given us the equation to go get the spiritual things in our lives that we want. And it's not about a comparison, because we need to improve our spirits. We need to improve our lives. We need to improve the lives of our families. And it's not for us to compare what's going on in somebody else's house or somebody else's business, because that doesn't impact. That has no bearing on our blessing. Their blessing has no bearing on our blessing. So, you know, Brother Jerry said it last week that we've got all the grace and mercy in us. We just have to go. We just have to access that. You know. I finally got one. So we just have to go access that blessing. So many things in our lives are available to us if we just go access what God has made available to us. So, you know, in a lot of cases, we don't believe we can go do anything due to maybe a lack of confidence or something's holding us back. Have you guys ever been to, like, SeaWorld? Who's been to SeaWorld? Okay. All right. I was an adult before I got to go to SeaWorld, but most of us, if we haven't been, we've at least seen a killer whale jump out of the water in out of a tank like that at a place like SeaWorld. Do you know that when they take those whales into captivity, they don't just jump out of the water. There's a process that helps them achieve jumping out of the water. There's a whole book on Shamu and the way SeaWorld does their training. And it turns out that they put this rope in the water and they train the whale to swim underwater but over the rope. And then they reward them when they go over the rope. Then after, you know, they got that down a little bit, they'll raise the rope, still in the water, and same thing. And that process continues and continues and continues until eventually they move the rope out of the water and the whale gets rewarded for jumping up out of the water over the rope. So over time, they just remove the rope and reward the whale for jumping up out of the water. And that's a great achievement, but it happens. That whale is an 11,000-pound creature, and it's able to propel itself up out of the water like that. That's a pretty great achievement, but it happened in very small steps. You may have a vision for yourself later in life that God has put in your heart, that you see a version of yourself, and you can see it as clear as day, but it's far from where you are today. I would just say, don't try to jump into that situation tomorrow or next week, but recognize that if God's put that vision and that thought in your heart, that you can start to make those baby steps. You can start to refine yourself. You can start to learn spiritually, and you can get to where God has placed that vision for you incrementally and over time. And if God's put that in you, trust there's a path to get you to that place. And don't let the restraints of the devil hold you back. What are you talking about, restraints? Well, let's talk about another very large animal. Have you ever seen those caricatures back in the old days when if you go to like a circus or a big carnival and they have an elephant, how'd they restrain the elephant? Does anybody know? They'd put a rope around the elephant's back leg and they have a stake in the ground. And there you've got an elephant holder. Is that image in everyone's mind? You've seen that through your lives? Well, it turns out that if an elephant wanted to, they could just walk away and drag that stake right behind them. Or if you believe that that stake is strong enough to hold an elephant, why don't you go get you a piece of rope and a stake and go to Africa and lasso you an elephant leg and just drive that stake in the ground and see how that works out for you. Because you're not going to take a wild elephant. It will take that stake and that rope from you, and it will make you wish you'd never come to Africa. That's quite frankly what happened there. But the way you train an elephant to mind that restraint, mind that rope, is you start when they're babies. Because a baby elephant can't pull up the stake. So you trap that elephant with that restraint, and that baby elephant will pull and pull and pull until he's exhausted, and he'll learn, that holds me back. I can't overcome that. But as that elephant grows, he stops trying. And he gets bigger and bigger and stronger. That restraint is still holding him in that place. Don't let the devil put something on you that he would convince you can hold you back, when God has put the strength in you to just walk away from that. You don't have to be restrained by that thing in your life. If the devil put it there, God's strength is strong enough to take you away from it. Every time. Every category. Everything. No matter what the restraint is. No matter what the sin is. No matter what the situation is. God is always stronger. It's just true. It's not my opinion. So I would say set your target with the guidance from the Holy Ghost and make decisions that get you there. Matthew 7:13 says, and this will be my final thought, enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go thereat. Verse 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be there that find it. The way to destruction is wide. The way to life is narrow. The gate is wide, because you can take whatever you want along with you. You can fit all your bad habits. You can fit all your bad sins. You can fit all your bad friends. You can fit your pride. You can just drag it right along with you through that wide gate. But if you're going to go through the narrow gate, you're going to have to drop some things. You're going to have to leave some of that stuff behind. And it's not as easy as it sounds. But don't let that stuff hold you back. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way. Christ said, He is the way, the truth, and the life. To choose Him as the only way is a very narrow perspective. Not everybody in the world shares it. Not everybody in America shares it. But it is the way. He is the way. And I'll leave you with a phrase from a great poet. You guys have probably heard of the poem from Robert Frost, The Road Not Taken. It says, two roads diverge in a wood. And I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. So Happy New Year, and I encourage you to resolve to follow God's path in your life. Thank you for your attention.